Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Soul Stream on blogtalkradio.com.
I forgot to unmute. That's when they're getting into my spiel about Apollo 8. So I'll start all over again. Thank you, Nancy, for letting me know I had dead air. Anyway, I have not been on in 5 months, and I'm forgetting where all the damn controls are. So anyway, I was talking about the Apollo. I'm going to put that. There's one call on. I'm going to hold that one. I was talking about Apollo 8 and the rounding of the moon for the first time by human beings all those years ago, and I actually heard that broadcast live myself, probably several of you out there in the audience did. And it was just really moving, you know, and it's something I play every year, generally around this time of year, sometime between the 21st to the 24th of December I'll play it. Depending on the show. And it is, you know, this is a really special time. And it's kind of funny because we've been through one heck of a year. I don't know about you out there, but there's just been so much that's happened. And not all of it good, but, you know, we're still standing. And I don't know what the future holds, you know, with everything coming in 2014. But, you know, there's always something you can do positive, you know, even in the face of bad news. So just remember that going into this year. There may be challenges, but, you know, we get through them. and we'll figure out a way. And I will be here next year broadcasting and doing the same. Lots of neat stuff in the last 24 hours. I did a kind of a practice show last night for the first time in 5 months. Still getting used to the studio again. And it went really well. But this morning I got up at right around 5:30 and hooked up with a good friend. And we went down and took our ham radio exams together. And I'm happy to say I am now a technician class ham operator. I do not have my call sign yet. And the FCC ULS database, we should be getting our call signs in the next couple of probably a week or so. And so that is going to be really good, and we'll be, I'll actually be posting photos of my transmitter setup and the antenna installations as these things go forward here at my shack that I do the show out of, and also it will be my ham shack. So I'll post some photos of all the gear and all the fun things I have in here, and it'll be great. Let's see, I'm going to say hi to the folks out there. We have guests 7665, we have JB34, Jenny Miner. Jenny, I have something to say to you. Poke, and I will always, always win. I just want you to know that. And you have no choice. And Jenny, I'm sending the ducks. You must send me coffee. You have no choice. I am your king. I command you. Send me coffee. There's a real story behind this. I teased the heck out of that girl, and she totally loves it. So anyway, Jenny, the ducks. Coffee, send it up. I want it. There you go. And I'll send some nice gifts down your way. Nancy Mum, who is my long time co-host, forgot how to actually get into Blog Talk.
I know.
She's forgotten all the stuff. It's like this is bad as me. I forget to unmute the mics when we start this stuff. Let's see. And then we have Brenda.
Yes.
Brenda, the good witch lady, psychic.
Of course.
She's all that. And she's my dear medium friend from down in the Sacramento area. And yes. She dials in and does things here with me. Hi, Brenda.
Hello, John. Mary Yule, by the way.
Mary Yule. As a matter of fact, we're going to cover some things about Yule that it's going to be kind of a fun show. We're not going to do readings tonight. So if you are going to be calling in and wanting to do readings, we're going to be talking about anything but readings tonight. A little bit of everything holiday related. If you do want to talk about some paranormal stuff, and or maybe you just want to talk about a neat reading you had, fine. But some things happened on the show yesterday. The first show back, the first thing that happened was I had three individuals showed up and started immediately trying to create a stir, and I ended up booting two of them. And a third one, he got about 10 seconds in on his little spiel, and I booted him off the phone. So some changes going on, and Jenny is sitting there poking, and she's already lost. The girl has lost. You have no choice. The ducks are coming. The coffee cups are there. Send the coffee, Jenny. That's all I want. I want coffee.
I got a tip for Jenny. I got a tip for Jenny. Give him the coffee, but give him decaf. That'll freak him out.
I'm sending Christmas ducks
decaf.
Down there. And they're in little red suits, and they're wearing a little Saint Nick cap, you know. She's laughing. Debbie says, she's rolling on the floor. Yes, the nice part about being on the air and Jenny's not, it's, I can say all this stuff, and she can't say a damn thing. This is the best thing ever. I love it.
But
it's great
to
get
you afterwards.
Oh, she'll get me afterwards on Facebook, but, I mean, she never can win. I mean, I am totally she's sending the coffee. She finally has rolled over and sending me a coffee. That is some damn good coffee there, girl. That's really good coffee. Could you send sugar? And I'm in creamer, too. Can you send some of that up? Oh, yeah. She's going to
get the cow, Jenny. Send him the cow.
Okay, so some things coming up. I'm going to try a few different experiments on the 24th when we do the readings. I will be doing kind of a mix of my normal reading style Brenda, if you're welcome to join me on that show, if you're open to do that on the 24th.
I would love to.
Okay, well, so we'll do a tag team. We will do tag team mediumship. One of the things I'm going to do is we're going to be really looking at the calls carefully because I'm going to be looking at people who are in the chat room, and they're going to have to identify themselves because it was kind of a harbinger of things to come when the trolls started in. So if you don't have a profile that's filled out and looks legit, you're not getting on. And if you are just somebody dialing in on the phone without being in the chat room, you're not getting in. I'm going to lay that law down now, and we're going to stop a lot of this stuff in its tracks. So, there's a lot of folks legitimately trying to get in to do really good readings, and that's the way it's going to be. The other thing is I am going to be recording phone numbers and Skype IDs from now on. And so, and it'll all be reported back to BTR's security team. So guess what? I'm just going to be the guy reporting it all. So we'll take it from there, and I will be screening. So it takes away from my doing mediumship on the other side, but I'd rather have a quality show than to have the kind of things that happened yesterday. So just kind of diving off into that. Today, though, is Yule.
Yay.
And Brenda, what does Yule mean to you? You were wishing me happy Yule right off to today on Facebook. So what does it mean to you?
Of course I was. Well, it's the longest night of the year, and it celebrates the beginning of winter. And in many ways, to me, it is the true, honestly, the true Christmas-type holiday where, like, I actually exchanged some gifts with my boyfriend's children earlier today. We have gifts to do on Christmas Day, but we did some gifts today as well. So it's a special day to me.
Yeah, same here. It's like this time of the year, it's funny, I have this kind of little internal thing I do. I look at the June 21st date and December 21st dates, and the one thing I always like is on December 21st, I know that the next day we're beginning to return to the light, and that is the neatest thing, because it really marks that turning of the corner. Now, it doesn't really start showing up until later in January when you really start to see the first hints of spring. But, from this moment forward, we're going back to the light, and the earth goes through that wonderful cycle all over again. So it's really nice, and I found something interesting. I'm just going to read off a couple of things here from Wikipedia about Yule, and it actually started with the Germanic peoples, later being absorbed into and equated with the Christian festival of Christmas. So it has this inexorable tie to Christmas, but it's more of a pagan kind of a holiday tied in. And scholars have connected to this celebration with the wild hunt, the god Odin, and the pagan Anglo-Saxon Modrinic, I don't know anything about that guy. But there's other things, traditions, and I found this, and Debbie is going to find this very funny because we took our ham radio exams today. There are several traditions that go with Yule. Of course, we all know about the Yule log, which is a large and very hard log burned in the hearth as a traditional part of Yule or Christmas celebrations in several European cultures. It's also associated with the winter solstice festival for the 12 days of Christmas, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, or the 12th night. And it's wonderful. I mean, and a matter of fact, I think, if you get a chance, go outside and burn a Yule log and stand around and have some hot chocolate with friends. Do that in the next 4 days. Just do it. Get out there and then just talk about anything. And you'll suddenly find yourself laughing and having a great time. And it won't hurt to have a little bit extra something in the nog, you know what I mean? Anyway, so there's also the Yule goat. And I have to laugh. This thing, I'm going to post this in the chat room. This thing, I'm sorry, I'm sitting here coughing. the Yule goat is strikingly funny because it reminds me of the Burning Man, and I'm not sure that this is where the Burning Man didn't come from.
Really?
I mean, just put this out here in the chat room. And the Yule goat is one of the oldest Scandinavian and Northern European Yule and Christmas symbols and traditions. Its origin may be the Germanic pagan, and the figure has existed in many variants during Scandinavian history. Even today, the Yule goat is typically a goat figure made of straw, and the custom of wassailing is sometimes called going Yule goat in Scandinavia. Anyway, this thing is giant. I mean, this thing is as big as the Burning Man, you know, and so the Swedes are into this big, giant goat. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, you know, it sort of looks like the Burning Man. And I just went, wow. So anyway, they've got this big tradition. But the thing that really struck me when I was doing the research was the next tradition. And we've all had the Christmas ham, right? You know, all of us have had that.
Right.
It turns out it's also called a Yule ham. It's a traditional ham dish associated with modern Christmas Yule and this other unpronounceable holiday called Fenniskadin Yule. It's a ham from a pig that has been cured and sometimes smoked that is cooked in either the oven or boiled and the broth saved for a soup. So I had to laugh because we took our ham exam on Yule, and then there's this Yule ham. So Debbie and I are Yule hams.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just laughing. I'm just like, hey, I got it. I passed it. I'm a Yule ham. So I'm going to ask for ham tomorrow for breakfast. It's like, oh, my goodness. So I mean, that was completely by chance that we did this, and I'm just going, yeah, Debbie's going, we're Yule hams, destiny. Well, I just think it's the funniest thing ever, you know, and it was symbolic, you know, the longest night of the year, and the light begins, and now we're going to communicate to the world, and who knows the things we're going to do in the coming year. But anyway, I'm going to go it off on Yule here, but I'm going to ask you, ladies, I mean, what have you done so far for Christmas? I mean, what are the things? I mean, I've done some decorating at the house, and I've got some lights to fix tomorrow that have kind of fallen a little bit. So I'm finishing out some of my decorations, things like that. But what have you both done?
You're not going to get on that floor again, are you?
I'm not going to
put the Christmas lights up. Remember, didn't you put Christmas lights up and fall take a snow?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't fall. My cousin was, last year my cousin decided that he was Superman, and he went up on a ladder we told him not to use, which was kind of rickety, and he ended up falling through the rungs and then was hanging upside down and then came crashing down, and he busted his leg up pretty good, and he had come in from Connecticut, and so he called 911, and unfortunately his phone was coded for 911 in Connecticut. So
he reached
Connecticut. So here he is hanging out here in, you know, in Shingle Springs, and he's on the phone with a Connecticut 911 operator, and he explained his situation. And he was finally extricating himself, but he was basically screaming. And they cross-connected him to El Dorado County, 911, and then got the paramedics came around and got him out of this thing, and I get the call at work that he's had this terrible accident, and so I had to go get there, and he's a stubborn, I'm just going to say, he's a stubborn ass. he says, I don't need pain medication, and he sits there and he's laying in the bed going,
oh, man.
So I pulled the nurse aside and said, what's he doing? And she goes, he won't take the pain medicine. He needs this. So I says, I'm overriding him. I'm a relative. He's an idiot. Give him the damn pain medication. And she says, that's all we needed. And so we shot him up. And then I took him home in my Mustang, which was really interesting. There's a leg in there. And for the next 3 days, he stayed with us, and he was crappy as hell. So I'm not the one falling off ladders because I'm sane.
Did you not slip or something outside while doing something, and you slipped and fell kind of last year?
I remember that. And I wrecked my back. As I've been losing this weight, I'm down to about 12 pounds now, and I am really feeling the difference, and my back is thanking me. And I've got another 30-some-odd pounds to go. But I'm feeling a lot more energetic. This is really a nice way to eat. And Debbie says it really well. She says nothing is as good as thin feels. So I am liking this a lot, and I'm really going to stick with this. And I'm drinking a lot of water. A lot. I'm just going to be right out there with it. It's like you spend a lot of time in the bathroom. So one heck of a plan.
I was going to bring some Christmas cookies up to your house. Are you indicating that you're not wanting those?
We could bring a Christmas ham. We could bring meat. Bring roast yak. Bring something, you know, that used to be alive and running, like chicken or something. It's got to have had legs and run. You know, cookies don't do that. They just sit there and just they're saying, yes, sugar, and I can't have it. Yeah, not now. We're on a strict plan for the next probably 3 months. I'm going to be basically on the strict thing. But yeah, if you were to bring chicken nuggets or something like that, I can eat chicken
nuggets.
Yeah.
That's worse.
I got. Well, you know, the natural ones. I mean, you know, you can hand make those things. You don't have to have the pre-processed crap. So, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. But usually ham, a good ham would be good, sliced ham or, boiled eggs. I mean, boiled eggs are all by the ton, and those are great. We're having all kinds of natural vegetables. I am eating a grain that actually was found inside one of the pyramids in a chamber.
Wow.
This grain, when they cultured it, they found it in a jar that had been sealed. And when they took some of the seeds and tried to grow them, they started growing. And this grain is kind of like, it's almost like brown rice, but it's slightly different flavor. And you add just a few spices to it, and it tastes really good. And it's highly nutritious. And guess what? It's non-GMO. There's no genetic modifications. Artificial genetic modifications made. It is as it was back in the days of the Pharaoh. So we're eating that as kind of a staple along with the rest of this. So it's really good stuff.
What's the name of that?
I'll find out the name of it. I cannot remember it right off the bat, but for the next show I will have that for you. But it's really, it's interesting stuff. It's all over now. It's hit the market, and a lot of folks are incorporating it.
Are you talking about quinoa?
That's it, quinoa.
Is that it?
That's it.
It's Q-U-I-N-O-A, quinoa, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I always say it to the Chinese, you know, quinoa,
quinoa. Quinoa.
That's quinoa. It's quite good. Occasionally we add a little extra spice to it just because we can't have the butter and all the things we normally would slather on, so. But really, it's quite good, and if at first she was cooking it not quite enough, Mom was trying to work out how do you really cook this stuff, and she let it cook a little longer this time out on the last couple of days, and boy, it's really good. So we're having a great time with it. Yeah, but it's good stuff.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say my daughter's been eating quinoa for a couple of years, and she uses like a vegetable broth reduction or a chicken broth reduction or something like that to give it a little flavor. And I don't know where I've seen it, but I've seen for quinoa and how to incorporate them, you know, in your meal and different sauces and different things that are good for you. So
yeah.
If I remember where I saw that, I will just shoot you an email on that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and post some information on that on the next show, and we'll definitely do that on the 24th. It's just really neat. I'm noticing I've got more energy, and like today when we went out and did the ham test, and when I came back, I was just all over the map on things. So I'm finding I'm just tomorrow morning I'm getting up early, and I'm going to just really hit this ranch with a fine-tooth comb. We've got a lot of cleanup we're doing, and I'm doing a lot of repairs. And I just have energy now, and I'm not hurting. My back isn't hurting, so I like this, you know, and it's a good way to be going. But, you know, I mean, it's just I don't know what the future brings in all this, but I know this. I mean, you can, if you decide to put your mind to it, you can do anything, you know. I mean, I never thought I would actually go for it with my ham radio license, and I've done it, you know. I do a mediumship. I'm back in the chair again doing that. I love doing that. You know, I'm working on myself. You know, so, I mean, it's like the other side just finally just said, you know, it's time to get your butt in gear and do some of these things and get it out of the way, and then, you know, we're going to clear the decks for you. And that's what they're doing. And I'm just really liking it. So, but, I mean, now, what were you guys doing for Christmas? So, you know, have you both set up your houses, and what have you done?
Well, go ahead, Nancy.
No, you go ahead. You started talking. I want to hear the rest of what you...
Well, my boyfriend's children are here from Oregon, so we actually picked them up from the airport yesterday, which is really special for me because I don't have children of my own, and I've really kind of taken them in as my own kids, and I have a blast with them, and I get to do things. Like tonight we made gingerbread houses, and our house is all decorated for Christmas, and we are going to be doing Christmas cookies, and I actually had a list of people. They've never done deliveries with Christmas cookies, which is something that my family always did when I was a kid. So we are going to deliver Christmas cookies. But I'll take John off my list now since he doesn't want cookies.
I'm sorry. I feel so bad. Can you bring me some Christmas yak snacks? I mean, maybe roast side of yak, you know?
But it's really been it's wonderful. I got to stuff Christmas stockings, which I've never done that before, and it's just been a lot of fun.
All right. So you're looking forward to the relatives, and so the whole house is decorated, and you got the real Christmas feel in there, right?
Absolutely. Our tree's up, and all of our presents are wrapped and are under the tree, and now we've got gingerbread houses we'll have to put them somewhere where the cats can't get them.
Oh, my God.
I was wondering about
what happened with the cats?
Well, I have one cat that she's about 8 months old, and she is just mischievous. We've had so many problems with her with the Christmas tree and the ribbons from the packages, and now I'm kind of worried about these gingerbread houses, but we'll see how it goes.
Oh, no. As long as we don't mark the houses, and you're going, oh, what does that smell? That's not good. Yeah. Oh, this is not right. Why not?
You have to really watch with the ribbons because they will chew them up, and they'll get them all wound up in their intestine.
Yeah, I actually I had started using a little bit of curling ribbon, and when I saw how attracted to the ribbon she was, I stopped using it, and I have a real ribbon now on most of my presents. So my other two cats don't seem to be that interested in it, but she's, like, fascinated with it, so I have to stop using the curling ribbon.
Aww.
Yeah, just remember too, cats and electrical cords, as it stated in the movie, you know, Vacation movies with Chevy Chase. Remember that one cat that found burned into the carpet? It was like, and Chevy Chase is sitting there grinning like if he ate at the cat, and it's like, yeah, oh no, not right, Jenny. Going, oh no.
We had to go buy ornaments that won't break if they hit the floor, and all of my ornaments are like on the top half of the tree. I don't have anything on the bottom because she won't pull them off. So,
do you have a real tree?
No, it's an artificial tree. I don't really believe in putting up a real tree. It bothers me. It's taking the life of the tree, and so I've always used an artificial one.
That's funny, too.
I had some friends that had, they had like a half of a wine cask outside, and they planted a little Christmas tree in it. And every year they had it like on, you know, like those little things you see in gardens for gardening. It's kind of like a little dolly. You put it under a big planner, and you can move it.
Oh, yeah.
And they
roll it
into their house and decorate it. And after Christmas was over, then they'd roll it back outside. And they
Jump
on a tree. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we did. We would go to the nursery, down in Citrus Heights. They always the place is closed now, but it used to be called Capital Nursery. And we would go down every year, and we'd load up the truck, and we'd buy a live tree in a planter, and then when Christmas was done, we'd go plant the tree as part of the whole ritual. So we had all these Christmases and these trees growing around that were, part of our old past Christmases. So it was really kind of cool. But now we, it's funny, I went to we quit doing that, and I went to Walmart one year about probably, 10 years ago. And I picked up this fiber optic tree for $10. You know, it was after Christmas. And so that's been our Christmas tree for all this time. We set that sucker up and ended it down, and it's like, boom, tree, up, lights, plug in. Really, we're done. And but I do have, I'm on a mission tomorrow to find a bunch of the ornaments. We're going to put up ornaments. And I'm going to go find a bunch. I'm going to stop at the flea market over in Diamond Springs tomorrow, and I'm going to try to find really cool, unconventional ornaments to put up. So we're going to find everything. I'm going to look for toys like Star Wars figures, you name it, Star Trek stuff. I don't know.
I have Star Wars.
I have
Star Wars.
You have
ornaments.
Star Wars?
Absolutely. I also have I have Disney villains because I love the villains. So I have ornaments that are the villains from Disney.
What kind
you
of,
have vampires?
Yeah.
You know what? I haven't been able to find a really good vampire ornament. I would love to. I'd love to have some vampires up there.
I have an ornament of some kind of a person, and then you kind of paint it up to make it look like a vampire type person.
That's a good idea.
Oh,
I think
God.
It would probably be better. I know.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for you to do that, Brenda.
Well, in my case, I have to make it light enough because the tree, the fiber optic tree, I can't put heavy stuff on. I was thinking about putting some tools up, like screwdrivers and wrenches.
Oh, God.
Kind of symbolic of my whole life here at the ranch, fixing plumbing, which is, I have to admit, is my very favorite thing in the world to be doing. Plumbing. We had snow here the other day, and it got really interesting. I was having to fix things, and I am proud to report that we were because of my pre-planning, I was able to avoid any really significant outages. Because it's the one thing I hate worse than anything is in the middle of winter having water problems. It's just especially here in the semi-Arctic climate I live in. So. Oh, it's been a lot better.
It's
not
a good thing.
Nothing happened. Yeah, but, I think, tomorrow I'm going to finish out the lights, finish up the decorations, got all kinds of little gotchas I'm fixing for Mom, and just gonna get it all done with and then kind of just enjoy my handiwork. So, yeah, I've got solar-powered, I've got those solar-powered Christmas lights. They're kind of cool, so at night the house really, it looks great, and you're not really consuming any energy other than just, you got the solar panel out and these LED lights are up and you can really see them. They're really nice. So, matter of fact, I'd have to admit something. I left the whole string up all year and they worked all year. Those things were
last. I was just going to make a comment about that. Did you leave them up all year?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I looked and went, well, they're working. It looks kind of cool. They were purple.
Oh, wow.
They were your favorite color. We left
them
up for you, Brenda. That's my excuse. Yeah, Brenda liked that. Yeah, sure. Anyway, I am going to – I think I will take them out, down, but I've got a tree that I'm going to wrap the. I have another set that I've got just laying out there ready to go, and I'm going to wrap those up and get them done. It's just, the thing that's surprising to me is how fast Christmas has come this year. I mean,
very fast.
I'm still trying to process that because, it just everything's going faster. I don't know if when I get older, it's just going faster and faster every year. But are you noticing that, guys?
Honestly, I feel like time is going faster. And it's like no matter how you try to mentally slow things down, it just time is just speeding up. But I have noticed that.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm just kidding.
You guys, because you have your Christmas decorations up and everything like that, and I have nothing up yet. Now, of course, they're not going to go up now. But last weekend, I was so sick for like 4 days. I had that killer stomach flu, and I thought little things I was going to put together for people at work and stuff like that, I just said, forget it. I just got to get better. I had to drag my butt into work on Monday because I had just the rest of this week, you know, and I had a whole bunch of things coming up I had to close out before I left. And, Monday killed me.
I have the perfect way to answer your dilemma there, Nancy. I saw this on Facebook. It showed the world's fastest Christmas decoration. It had a life-size lighted image of the Grinch and a single string of Christmas lights, and he's got a bag out, and the lights are hanging off just one corner of the house, and that was it. It showed him stealing all the Christmas. It was like I'm looking at, oh man, this is too cool.
You know what, Nancy? Sometimes it's not worth the stress. You have to take care of yourself. And, you know, if you have to step away and just not kill yourself over it, you just have to do that. I've had years where I just didn't do much because I physically could not. I just didn't feel up to it. So I had to just kind of let Christmas come and go. And, you know, I spent time with my family.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. It comes right down to the bottom line is, if, you know, I mean, I like lights. I like little blinky things because that's just what I like. But the thing is, what's Christmas all about?
Right.
And so
exactly.
That's what I'm all about. You know, I would rather relax with my family and everybody just chill and have a meal and sit around and talk to each other and enjoy that time. I think that everybody's right about how, like, we plunge. And I always say it always starts after Halloween. It's a headlong plunge to the holidays. It's almost like a race. You're, like, running downhill, and you're going to crash right through these holidays. So I decided I am just going to do my own thing, and who's it going to hurt? It's going to hurt no one. And whatever Christmas shopping I had, which was very minimal, I did it online. I got it out of the way, and I'm glad that I did, because then when I got that stupid bug, I didn't really have that pressure on me, like, oh my God, I didn't finish everything, you know. But and I noticed at work, you know, that some of the people that I wanted to give a gift to, that I didn't. It was no big deal, you know. And unfortunately, we have one of the guys that work with us that on last Thursday morning, his house burnt down totally.
Oh my God, he lost his home.
And him and his daughter had to go live with his mom. And he tried to come to work, this poor guy, and hold it together. And, you know, we just said, go home. Go home. Take care of your kid. Take care of what you have to take care of and take care of you. You know, he's one of the hardest working people that we have. And he does such a wonderful job with, you know, special kids. And it's just like our hearts went out to them, and everybody just, we got a big envelope, and everybody just, when they came by, they wanted to contribute to, you know, him. And people were throwing their money into the envelope, and they gave it to my principal at the end. They said, this is what we have. I says, I didn't count it. But the majority of the money that went in there was in the form of $20 bills. And there's a lot
wow.
of bills in there.
Oh, get them going again.
You know, and I just don't, you know, and he was taking care of his own daughter, you know, and stuff like that. Had a lot on his shoulders. And I just thought, you know what? I'm not going to worry about these other things. Yeah, I'm going to vicariously enjoy everybody else's Christmas tree lights. That's what I'm going to do. That's going to be a free enjoyment for me. But, you know, in the meantime, I'm going to be thinking about this person and, you know, saying a few prayers for them and hoping that everything goes well for their family during this time of the year, you know, because this time of the year could be hard for people, but if to go through something like that and to enter, just enter this season right now like that, maybe this kind of makes people thankful for the people they still do have around them and the people that care and the people that, you know, are there for them too. So that's what it's all about. It's really all about what, you know, what's coming from the heart. You know, and so my stomach flu made me think about that. But John, I just recall something I wanted to say to you.
Yes, my dear.
Remember I had a conversation about something I saw shooting through the sky? And you told me
yeah, yesterday. You were telling me about it yesterday, yeah.
Okay. I think I identified it. I think it's something called, and I don't know the whole right name for an X-something rocket or something with an X in it, like an XRJ or XJR or X-20-something rocket.
Where was it? Do you think it was firing out from Vandenberg or?
You know what? Police station operator said maybe something's cut loose from Vandenberg. When she said that to me, I thought she was just kind of being a smart ass, and I was going to say, yeah, well, okay, I guess then you can give me a better description of it when I went on to talk to the police department, because I thought she was laughing at me. But there is a rocket that I was watching on, with the History Channel or something like that, and they were talking about technology, and they described this rocket, how it can fly very parallel to the ground, and it has been mistaken for a comet.
Wow.
Because it's got a red ball of fire in the front, so it looks like with a fiery tail. But yet it flies parallel.
Well, you know, I mean, a comet, you know, the thing is, I mean, you know, I've been doing astronomy since 1976, building my own telescopes and things like that. So I have decades of experience with, you know, looking at the night sky, and I work in the aerospace business. So, I mean, I know what I'm looking at generally when I look up there, and also know when I can identify something, and I have an educated kind of a view of it. But the general lay public, when they look at something that is unusual in the sky, a lot of them, you know, folks are just not geared to that. They look and go, what is that? You know, and yeah, that's perfectly sensible. I mean, comets generally are not going to be moving. You know, that's probably the biggest distinction. If this thing was moving, it's much closer. It's terrestrial for sure. You know, something here, you know, captured in the Earth's gravitational field, you know, up in the air from the ground. But, you know, yes, those things do exist. And an awful lot of UFO sightings are going to be terrestrial, you know, explainable military and commercial traffic, you know. So most of them are those things. There is those occasional unknowns, you know, like the things I talked about yesterday with the triangular craft that I could not make sense of. I saw twice in one night. You know, what the hell was that? I mean, I've never heard engines like that ever again. And it was engine. It was engine noise, but unlike any jet engine I've ever heard. And I know there's these things called pulse jet engines that they sound like whisper, you know, kind of a whispery thing. This was much more of a high-pitched whine. It had a distinctive sound, all its own. Never have heard that again. But, you know, if I had to guess, 2,500 to 3,500 feet up in the air, and probably on the order of, you know, I would say as big as a 747. I mean, they were big.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, these things were huge. And but, you know, I mean, I have to say that judging distance at night and even in the daytime can be very difficult. And judging what an object is extremely difficult. So you really have to really look and know what you're seeing. And then and if you do think you're seeing a UFO, like in your case, you were looking out. I remember you were telling me it was like a bus window when you saw it. You were looking out, traveling on a bus.
Yeah, well, the second time I saw it, the same type of image. The first time was a couple years ago, and it was coming, and we were going southbound 880, but this thing was going parallel, let's say, to the shoreline. Well, not, I mean, parallel, kind of like to the shoreline, but it was going in a northbound fashion direction. Now, this last time when I saw it, I was pretty close to 880. I was going southbound, but this thing now was coming from a northbound direction going southbound. And I'm going, I've got to be losing my mind. This is the second time I've seen this thing in the sky. And I'm looking around and nobody else is seeing it. And I go, holy cow. I wanted to say, doesn't anybody see this? The first time I was in the car with my kid, and my kid says, I can't look, Ma, okay? But no other cars were looking.
Well, it's funny. I mean, there's so much stuff that happens in the sky that most of the public, you know, they're not looking for it. And I tend to look up and look around and you know, and I spot things. You know,
I immediately will
note the position of Venus. I'll note the position of Jupiter. I'm always looking up, and you know, and I've spotted a few strange things in my time, you know. So you seem to have that awareness, you know. You're looking up and around now. If a lot of times, you know, especially like with Vandenberg firings and other bases that are doing military tests there, they're shooting out towards Kwajalein Test Range, you know, and Kwaj is way the hell out in the Pacific, and it's a place they aim at, and they hope they hit. And our forces have a base there, you know, and they have all the receiving equipment to measure how close the thing came and all that. And then they have all these fishing boats, which, code word Russian trawler filled with spy equipment going around. And the code name that they give those boys, our guys give the Russians, is called Brand X. That's what they call
Brand
them.
X. Brand X?
You know. And so Brand X is sailing around, you know, monitoring everything that goes on. So everybody spies on everybody else. So everybody knows that. But, I mean, that's it's really common to see these tests go on. And there was a famous case of a test the last couple of years where this in northern Europe, it looked like a Russian missile test had gone awry, and it started spinning. And it created this great pinwheel in the sky. And if you search for that spiral seen in, I think it's like Sweden and then, you know, the northern European countries. There's this great spiral, and it turned out it was a really conventional explanation, but all the conspiracy folks went completely nuts. You know, and
I
it
remember
was just
seeing
just,
something about that. Yeah,
and so, you know, an awful lot of this stuff is conventional explanations. You know, in this case, it was a failed Russian launch, and the vehicle was spinning around and leaving an enormous trail of gas, and it was just all over the place, and it's the most amazing, beautiful thing to see. You know, there are, however, those things that can travel at extreme speeds that are far beyond our capabilities. That I would attribute to alien visitation or unknowns, unknown intelligences. I don't think we're that far along with our propulsion capabilities that we can do some of these things. You know, right angle turns at several thousand miles an hour. You know, that would smear any human being to mush to make those kinds of turns. And the technology to prevent that kind of death of the pilot at those kind of high Gs. I mean, I've done high G maneuvers. I have been in a fighter plane doing extreme aerobatic maneuvers. And let me tell you, when you're pulling 3.4 Gs, you feel the blood going out of your head down to your feet. It is a real feeling, and I felt my spinal column literally being punched down into the deck of this, you know, of the vehicle I was in. I was in a Chinese CJ6 fighter trainer. It was in October 2010. and I actually got to fly it. And then, you know, my boss who owns it took me through, and we did extreme aerobatics. And I was, like, hooked. I was going, I got to get me one of these, you know. But, you know, I mean, just a paltry few Gs, and human beings are already getting extreme physiological effects. Imagine some of these vehicles that we're seeing that can do, you know, 3,500 miles an hour from 0 to 3,500 and do a left turn, you know, a complete 90-degree turn without even missing a beat. You know, you just can't fathom how anybody could live through that.
They create their own gravity around their own vehicle, they're safe.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, some of the technologies have been described, especially there's been several shows on it and a lot of interesting literature. But, you know, there's the talk of something called an inertial damper. And what the inertial damper does is it counters the forces of inertia as you make the turn. And it does basically the counterforce so that basically the pilot will not feel any of these effects. How to do that? God only knows, because you'd have to create one hell of a opposing force to make that happen. And how do you do that without tearing the vehicle apart? You know, whoever can
figure
that out.
Wouldn't that kind of like work on, maybe I'm way off here, on kind of like a similar principle of scope, in general?
You can say it again.
Wouldn't that be similar, the way it works, as kind of like, you know, as far as, compensation, like in a gyroscope?
Well, it's similar, but the problem is if you've got this amazing, engine and you can do those kinds of speed and you do a left turn at, you know, 12,000 miles an hour, you have to have a supercomputer that can handle the computational loads to, you know, and all the variables that, you know, you have to account for. Then you have to have a device that's capable of physically creating the counter forces and effects, you know, to keep the pilots alive from being, you know, turned into splatter inside the vehicle, and the rest of the ship too. I mean, it's not just the biology; it's everything else. I mean, because the vehicle could rip itself apart. So, I mean, the only things I can think of with my limited knowledge would be that you instead of putting counterforce on the vehicle, you just change the universe around it, and you basically nullify the universe. So instead of the ship turning, it's the universe turning around the ship, and it doesn't really get the whole effect of inertia, or very little of it. So you have to kind of wrap your mind around a whole different way of seeing things. And if you can imagine that, you could imagine turning the universe around, and the ship is staying stationary. Then for them inside, it really doesn't matter. You know, they just dial in where they want to go and let the computer figure it out. And this whatever this mythical, magical ability to change the universe around you can do, that's how it would work. It's almost on the point of being magic. I mean, how could this work? But evidently it does, because so many UFOs have been seen, and so much stuff has been described over the years by people, and filmed it and seen these things in action. It must work. So there must be a way that they, you know, that these things are able to pull that off. And one day we'll figure it out, you know, and I'm sure we've captured these things. I'm sure we've got, you know, plenty of examples of these things sitting in labs someplace, and they're trying to figure this stuff out. But, to me, I mean, just given if it was just human beings trying to figure this stuff out at our stage of development, we're centuries from that, you know, in my mind. I mean, we're not anywhere near that, you know, level of capability to be able to pull that off. We'd have to have help. And so that, you know, if there is a case where we've captured these things, yeah, we might be able to reverse engineer part of it. But, you know, the old adage of if let's say that you have a nuclear submarine and you go back in time and you pull up alongside Columbus and you've got a spare submarine and you go say, hey, Chris, come here. You know, forget the Nina Pina, Santa Maria. You want one of these. You want a Trident missile submarine. This will get you there fast, and you can sail under the water and you can cause all kinds of mayhem, you know, when you get there. And Chris gets in there and you show him the controls and he can learn the navigation. But he can never appreciate the context of the technology. because he doesn't know anything about electricity. He doesn't know how all of this stuff really works. He only knows the rudimentary movement of the controls. You know, yeah, it works, but how does it work? What's the context for the technology? That's the position we're in if we've captured these vehicles. You know, we might be able to, you know, figure out some of it, but, you know, these guys have got, you know, have been traveling probably the stars for millions of years. How do we even come close to understanding this stuff when our development is so primitive? So I have no way of understanding it. Yeah, I mean, well, I think we have. I'll say this. There's so many stories of different nations, including the, you know, the Third Reich and Nazi Germany, having captured these things. The Russians were big time into this. The United States is definitely into it. You know, I'm sure the Chinese government and English and everybody managed to get their own examples of this technology, and not always in a nice way. You know, there were standing orders in different countries to actually shoot down these vehicles. And you know, it's really not a good idea to go pissing off, you know, an alien with lots of firepower and a lot of buddies he can call on subspace radio and come and wipe out your planet. And our guys are in here shooting these guys down. It's really kind of stupid, you know what I mean? And the Russians paid a heavy price for that when some of their policies were such that they, when they did get into all this. Oh, Nancy, am I still getting weird on my voice, sir?
Your voice, you would be talking like normal, and then it would go, you know, kind of get stretchy with a little electrical buzz in it.
Yeah,
I'm not hearing that on my side.
Maybe it's just me.
Okay, well, you know, but bottom line is the Russians, we'll just skip plow through it because it's been happening to, I've been listening to you guys and it occasionally happens, and I think it's just a Skype thing.
Okay.
But anyway, the Russians had standing orders at a base called Kapustin Yar, and it's their Area 51 equivalent. And they were actually shooting these things up. They were trying to attract them. And when these things did show up, then they send up a fighter plane and they get into a big fight, and they shot down a number of these. Well, eventually some of these guys showed up as a little fleet of their ships, and they shot the holy hell out of a bunch of Russian installations and kind of set the point across, you know, you really don't want to shoot at us. And I think that this is something that's happened all over the, you know, all over the different forces, armed forces of the world that have engaged in these behaviors. They've been punished. And I really think it's probably not a good idea, you know, for international relations or interstellar relations to be shooting down superior forces. So I hope they've gotten past that. But, you know, the bottom line is, more than likely, they've got a number of vehicles in storage, and they've been ripping these things apart, and they're learning. But, you know, will we in our lifetimes ever see some of these things? I don't know. I think disclosure may happen one day. They might finally come out and reveal that these things really are out there. I'm not putting a lot of stock in it. I don't think that it's not in their interest to do that yet, until it becomes so egregiously obvious that they, you know, that we do have the understanding and the technologies and being brought out and shown to everybody. But, you know, I really don't expect that I'm going to benefit from it because, I mean, really, I mean, I love my Mustang, but I really like a George Jetson car that folds into a suitcase.
You know, I've always wanted a George Jetson car. They're cute.
You know I just want a car that drives itself. I want a car that you sit in it, you tell it where to go, and it just takes you there, parks itself. That's what I want.
Well, that's actually the funny thing is with GPS technology today and the robotics and AI circuitry and all that and programming, that's been done. Google's got that.
Right.
That's been done.
And as soon as it's on the market, that's probably the next car I'm going to buy.
what was that movie with Tom Cruise that he was in the Department of Pre-Crime? You remember that? And I'm trying to remember the name of it. If any of you guys out in the audience remember, he was in the Department of Pre-Crime, and then he got accused of being, getting set to commit a murder, which he was set up. But there
was
these cars. Huh?
Was it Vanilla Sky?
No, it was, I cannot remember the name of it. Matter of fact, let me just pull it up here. Tom Cruise. Minority Report. Minority Report. That was it.
Report, yeah.
Anyway, there was a scene where he's getting chased through by all his other cop buddies who now turn on him. And he's in this, he actually is jumping from car to car on a freyway where the people were in the cars and they're having conversations and nobody is driving. And the cars are driving themselves on the freyway. And people are just engaged, in all kinds of sometimes compromising positions. And he's jumping from car to car and looking and seeing these things. And it's like, you just go, wow. And now the deal is, that looks real. I mean, that's, in the next 10 years, it may become very difficult for people to actually continue driving the way they do because it'll all be automated.
Which is fine with me. I mean, people drive crazy. I think if the car actually drove itself, we wouldn't have accidents. I think it would be an amazing thing.
That would be cool until you have a massive centralized failure of the grid and the systems all
system.
And then everybody's going to be getting out walking because, the system's down and that will cause all kinds of, I'm just a little, I've got years and years of IT experience, and I look at it and I can see the failures already piling up in these things, and especially in a world where you have folks that may decide, hey, let's use this as a way to knock out a whole society. They might actually do something very very antagonistic to an entire city or a state or a country, by paralyzing the traffic networks. So. To me, it's I kind of like the old. For all the problems I have driving to work, I like the ability to control my own destiny. I just don't know if I'm ready to turn the keys over to some computer. I don't know. It bothers me. I mean, imagine. Can you imagine? Brenda, you're in the car, and the car decides to just instead of taking you to Oakland, it takes you to Auckland. Why am I underwater?
Yes.
We need to 5 hours. How's your food here?
I just hate to drive. I mean, having a car that could get me there on its own, I think that's a great idea.
Think of all the stress that people would not have to deal with.
Well, it's funny. There are some cultures, like in Europe, there's actually a whole... I think it's the Dutch might be doing this. They're really big on bikes, and they have these things called community bikes. And they basically have this whole thing of being able to – and they're just getting into this with some cars. They're like these low-priced cars. People get in them, and they drive them around the city, and then they get to where they go, and they just drop it and leave it. They don't even think about it. And they put it at a charging station. It's a little electric car. And then somebody needs a car, they can grab it, they drive it off, and they do their thing, and they park. And the only rule is you stay in the city. And so these cars are just shuttling all over the place, and people do their thing. And I think there's a slow price. It's a nominal fee to use it. But the bottom line is almost everybody has an account, and as long as you got this token thing, you get in the car and you drive around, and you just leave it. And it's kind of a cultural thing. It's built into the city's fiber of being, I think I could see some of that happening, especially with the way traffic is in cities, I don't know. I just love my Mustang too much to give it up the keys. I just can't do.
I love my car too. I just bought myself a new car, and I love the car too. There's so much.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
I'm still here. Brenda. Oh, yay.
No, I'm still here.
She's back. The grandma.
Hello?
There?
Yeah,
I'm here.
I'm here.
Go ahead. Keep on going where you were going.
The idea of not having that stress anymore of dealing with traffic and, just being able to have a car go where I want it to go, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm just want to have offensive and defensive weaponry in my car. I find it, especially when people are tailgating me, I just want to have a I just want to have a sign that pops up and says, do you really like sniffing my tailpipe this close? And then have a little punching bag that comes out, just hits their car, bam, get away from me. You know, I mean, because if anything really ticks me off, it's tailgaters, because it's like, especially if you're in, it's like, I'll move over to the slow lane just to get away from them, and they'll still try to run you, and they're pushing you, and they just, God, it just ticks me off. Sometimes you just want to get out and go, what? What is it? What is it? Do you like the smell of my socks? I mean, is it, are you trying to get, are you, do you like my smell? Is that what it is? I mean, I don't get it. So, yeah.
They like pushing you.
What's that?
They like pushing you. That's what it's all about for them. It's a power thing.
I just slow down to like 50 miles an hour and it drives them batty. They freak out. But I kind of notice the ones that are have an arrogance about them. You know, they'll get like a really expensive Lexus or one of the finer brand cars, and then they think they have the right to do all these things, you know. And so there's parts of it that are so maddening, but I still love my car. You know, I just like to be able to go out. And I love my F-150. I've got a Ford F-150, and I love driving that thing. I love my truck. You know what I mean? I love my truck there, man. I was pushing that truck, and I get around there, and I'm a country boy in that truck. You know what I mean? So, I just can't see me going in and getting in my truck and saying, Google, please take me to this address. And then to have it sit there and take me to the wrong one. And then I go, Google, I meant this. You stupid. Anyway. I just can't see
myself.
Don't
talk about Google now.
They will redirect you.
That is one thing that I won't use. Like, I won't use the voice command, like, on my iPhone through Siri. I still type everything in because it always misunderstands what you tell it, and I get frustrated with that. So I always just type it in.
Yeah, that's how I find it very frustrating to use voice technology unless you're in very ideal conditions. It's just, you know, it like for a noisy environment, the software's just not that good yet. I mean, human beings will always be better able to pick out what's really being said and get it mostly right, you know. I just think we got another 10, 20 years before we really get to the point where they're as good or better than humans in really challenging environments.
Because I just love it when you ask it to dial someone's phone number and it dials the wrong person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially when you say, I want it, Sue Johnson. And then they give you Nadia Nijinsky, you know, so I mean, it doesn't even sound the same. There's not even the same phonemes, the same phonics or anything in there. And I'm going, what the heck?
Right.
Yeah.
And then you got to quickly end the call. You're like, no, I'm not. I don't want to call that person.
I don't even know who they are.
I'll tell you the one I do like, the one thing that I think is good is I'm a big fan. I actually have five of these now, and I've gone from model to model, is the Kindle Fire. And several of my Kindle Fires have the ability to do text-to-speech. And the early ones I got were pretty good. They didn't sound very convincing, but I've got the Kindle Fire HD. And when I got that, I started having my books read to me, and I would start them up in the car. And I would listen to the books as I'm driving to work. And they have a female voice that is absolutely flawless. It sounds like a person reading to you. It's just, I think probably the one thing that they failed to do is add a little variability to the voice, you know, where maybe they could change some timing randomly. And so it would really add that extra, you know, are you really listening to somebody narrating or are you listening to a computer? It can be a little too perfect. And so I kind of wish they would do that is kind of add that little extra uncertainty, and then it would really kind of jazz it up.
If they could make my iPhone sound like Russell Crowe, I'd be really happy.
I can't make it sound like J.C. Kirk reading you. You know, the story of Christmas, yes. Beat me up. That damn St. Nick, beam him out to the little kids. I don't know. Hey, you know what? I'm sitting here and I just realized I've got a couple of callers out there. I'm just going to pop them on real quick. I got a 267 and I have somebody. I have some ne'er-do-well named Earthbound Angel out there. She's just hanging out there. This Earthbound Angel chick. Who is she?
I know. I don't know.
Let's see. I'm going to do this 267 real quick. 267, you're on SoulStream. What's your name? I guess they're not going to talk. All right. Going once. Going twice. 267, you are off. Okay. All right. We're going to try this. We're going to take this Earthbound Angel and send her Yuletide greetings. We're sending her a big Christmas log. There she is. Earthbound Angel, come in. Come in. This is SoulStream calling Earthbound Angel. We need an angel in the house.
Aw. Hi, guys.
Hi, Rach.
How are you?
I totally enjoyed doing it.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
That's good.
Special Family Connection says we're sending you a Brie log.
We have a Brie log.
I've been doing really good, staying busy.
You know, the last time I had any contact with you, it was right just before you got, I think you got your new chair.
I think it was, I think so.
How is the chair working out for you?
Oh my gosh, it's too fast.
It's too fast? Well, hell, it's like my Mustang, but still it doesn't, I mean, it really is fast, huh?
It's really fast. It's late, so... Like, even the simple push, it will just, like, take off on you. And I'm like, no. But, no, it's really good. The only problem I'm having is with the snow, the wheels are a little bit smaller, so it sinks really fast. So, other than that, it's really awesome. I love the color, and I thank you for donating to help me get it.
Well, I don't know. No, I didn't do any of that. You know, some bunch of guys got together to get some money at you. One thing, though, we're going to do, though, is, and you're welcome, by the way, but one thing I think since you've illustrated you have a snow problem, I have some friends in engineering. I think we can get you a flamethrower. And, you know, it would really help quite a bit. And we also have ejection seats, you know, with parachutes. So, and so I work around a bunch of guys over in the engineering section who have no sense of humor, and one we have one little group that does ejection seat technology for fighter planes and test piloting and things like that. And I walk up to these guys and they're real proud of their jobs, and I'm looking at this design and I said, you know, if I just put a spring under the guy's chair and threw his ass out of the airplane, I'd probably do it a lot cheaper than you guys did. And they're just sitting there like, get out of here, Alma. And it's like, hey, you know, I mean, I'm just telling you, I mean, you know, just with a big boing, they're just going out, you know. I mean, come on. I mean, and they're going, you don't understand, there's sensors and this and that. And I'm going, yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the pilot's expendable, right? You know, you just get another pilot. You tried to save him. If it didn't work, you get another one. There's some other guy, jet jockey, wants to get in, and they just look at you. And I'm sorry. So I really don't want you to have an ejection seat, Brie. I'm just letting you know. Anyway.
Oh, that'd be so fun, though.
Well, I think what we need to do is see about getting you in the winter to a warm place.
That would be awesome.
You need to live in Hawaii during the winter. I mean, that because you're up in Montana, right?
Yep.
What's it like in Montana right now?
It is very, very cold. We were actually the coldest place on Earth 2 weeks ago. We were colder than the North Pole. We were like -50.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
oh,
negative.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So our winter is getting really bad.
That's
just not
right. I
had some friends in Canada, and they were like -40.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when you take a chainsaw out and cut a hole through the air so you can get through. You know. Let me get this block of air out of the way so I can move in. By the way, I need to melt some of that so I can breathe. You know, I mean, do you have to cover your face then, right? Because, I mean, even breathing that kind of cold in can really mess up your lungs, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
John, I think you got to talk to your engineering friends and have them get together and have them make something where for the winter and in the snow, instead of wheels on the chair, that she's got little tracks, like on a cat.
That's a good idea.
Well, I was thinking, you know, I mean, since we're into, you know, my company recently bought another large aerospace outfit, and we're now kind of, we've got the whole range of things. So, Brie, I could offer you, you know, thrusters that we used on the space shuttle, which would really get you going fast. I mean, we could really get you moving. You know, I could get you up to zero to 250 miles an hour in no time at all. I mean, but and we've got wafer thrusters, which we can use to kind of push, you know, just to find course correction as you're going that speed. So you really don't want me helping you, do you?
That would be cool. That would be cool.
But you would be the most popular person on the block with this outfit. It's rocket-powered wheelchair. I think it would be awesome. So.
I'm a daredevil, so I would do anything.
I think you'll just settle on getting you sparklers and leave it at that and try to figure out. What you need is just a bunch of nice guys to dig the snow out for you and keep it out, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what is it? You know, so during this time of year, I mean, do you just stay in where you're at and pretty much until spring, or
yeah.
You know, what do you do?
Yeah, I do. I stay in a lot. Because, like, you know, being a paraplegic, your immune system goes low, so anytime you're around someone that's sick, you get sick. So it's like, even in the summertime, I stay in.
You need to live in Hawaii. You need to be in like a tropical climate. You know?
Yeah.
And just have access to the water, you know. I mean, yeah, I mean that's, I just don't think I could do that. I mean, cuz it's funny, when I retire out, I've thought quite often of in the winter I'm just going to go to Hawaii, cuz I did a Christmas in Hawaii once. That was the most amazing thing ever. I called my sister. I got up and we went outside and it was 81 degrees Christmas morning, and the Hawaiian people are really cool. They took some sand that was really white colored sand and saying, "Look at the snow, you know, it is just snow around this tree and it's all sand." And I called my sister in Colorado. I go, "Hey, what's it like there, sis?" And she's going, "It's 25 below. We're freezing our asses off out here. What's it like in Hawaii?" It's, "Oh, 81 degrees. I'm in my shorts, you know." And she's going, "You bastard." And I'm just sitting there laughing, going, "You really should have come with us, you know." And she's just going, "I don't understand why you get all the fun stuff." And I go, "I paid to go on this thing." And then, She got to laugh at me later, though, because I nearly got attacked by a shark when I was out there. I was diving, and I actually was off Molokini. And I was with a dive group, and when I got out a little too far from the group, and I look out, and there's a reef shark, a fairly large reef shark sitting there, and it was arching its fins and swimming really funny. And I suddenly realized, I'm pissing this thing off.
Oh, my God.
And then I'm like 250 feet from the group, and I start going, "I'm going to back off slow." And then I think the following week out there, a much larger shark, I think it was like, what are they, bull sharks? I think it was a bull shark. Actually killed a guy out there in the same area I had been diving. So, I just don't think I'm going to do much more diving. You know, there's something about job.
That is so interesting that you bring that up, because I had a dream last night of getting bit by a shark.
Wow.
So that's just weird.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, I really love diving in the ocean, and, you know, closer to shore, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, because you would get in, the one thing I did closer in, I'd go out in the mornings and go swimming out there over by Kihei and things like that in Maui. And you would get underwater, and the minute you're underwater, all you hear are whales. you know, and it's just the most amazing thing. You can hear them. Mm. And sometimes even above surface you'll hear them. But the other thing I liked was being out on the boats, and we would go out in the boats, and I would lay up front and reach down, and dolphins would be breaking surface right next to me, and you could reach out and touch them.
Oh.
And their skin is just the most amazing skin, and to feel it, it's just very silky and glidey kind of a thing. It's almost like a kind of a rubber that's just real slippery. And
wow.
It just was amazing. And they'd be able to over and look at you as they're tooling along. They're cooking with the boat. And then they roll over and look at you, and they're just, their tails are moving like crazy, and you just reach out and pet, you know, and they don't even flinch. It was just amazing. I mean, I just loved it. You know, so, I mean, I like Christmas in Hawaii. I don't like sharks. I'll stay closer to shores. I really don't want to be consumed. I just got this thing. I have too many people to read still, so I think I'm not going to be it. So what are you going to do for Christmas, Bree?
Actually, not much. I think I'm going to spend it with my kids.
All right. So what is going on in your world? I mean, are you, you know, what other things are happening with you? So we can catch up with you here.
You know, not much since we've talked last. I mean, I'm starting to do readings more often. And things are, like, really, like, the, like, experiences that I'm going through is kind of scary, but it's, like, exciting, too. So I've been getting stronger with them, and I've been around Blog Talk doing shows with people, and that's about it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, just keep doing it. You know, the thing with, you know, having experiences, especially if you're doing readings, it's part of the deal. I don't know what you're running into, but... You know, I end up seeing spirits quite often, or I'll hear stuff
mm-hmm.
going on. I mean, what's going on exactly?
Actually, seeing spirits is becoming more stronger. Like, it's getting to the point where they're bothering me when I'm sleeping. So they're getting stronger with it, and I'm trying to get boundaries, but it's like I'm having a hard time with it. So
do you have black tourmaline? Do you know what that is?
Mm-mm.
Send me a Facebook message after the show. I'll send you some information, and I actually have some black tourmaline. If you can't get any, let me know, and I'll drop some in the post and send it to you, because it's really an amazing stuff. It seems to repel spirits. Kind of sets it has this ability, and we use it in our house pretty exclusively for keeping, you know, entities out. A lot of them are really nice. They just are boundary challenged. They just want help, especially some of the earthbounds. But it just kind of sets the statement to, you know, to them that, hey, I really don't want you in my bedroom bothering me at night.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you can do is put out salt. You know, sea salt is some of the best. But if you know, regular salt will do in a pinch. Just put a little salt in a jar next to your bed, and then light a white candle. And kind of declare your space, and they'll generally leave you alone. You know, you can set the boundaries.
Okay, that's interesting. I needed help with that. That's pretty cool. I'm glad I came tonight.
You know, it's funny because even to this day, I'll hear them in the distance. You know, because I'm clairaudient, and I also see them. And you know, it's probably at least 1 to 2 times a week. I'll sit back and all of a sudden I'll hear talking. And I get up and go check, and there's nobody, and it's usually outside. And it's some spirits, you know, they're still trying to figure out how to get to me. But I've got the room completely covered, and there's tourmaline everywhere through the house. And we just basically set the law out and said, no, you won't come in here. You know,
right.
And out here in the studio when I'm doing work out here, there's no tourmaline, you know. This is the place they can speak to me. You know, if they want to come in and when I do the readings and things like that, that's the appropriate forum. And I explain it out loud to them, you know. So when you do, you know, if you're getting boundary challenge stuff, just speak out loud to them and say, this is what I'll accept, this is what I want. And you'll
right.
get through to them.
Right. So that should work with, like, ones that attack you kind of type deal. Like, I've had this one. She keeps bringing me to her death, and, like, I actually feel what she went through, and I've been trying to figure a way to have her back off. And I've told her, I was like, you know, you need to back off a little bit. So but she'll catch me off guard. And so if I just, like, be more stern about it, she would probably maybe stop?
Oh, yeah. You can you can invoke protection prayers. You can invoke, whatever your belief system is. You can bring in the higher power beings. You can appeal just straight to God and say, take this away. Do something to get this spirit help. Mm-hmm. There's any number of avenues you can take, but the one thing, I mean, I woke up to a case where I had a spirit who was grabbing, I literally had was grabbed by the feet in my bed and being pulled through the bed. And by the time I woke up and realized what was happening and I felt hands around my feet and this entity was trying to get through to me and yelling for help, and I got up and I yelled, "You dirty son of a bitch." And I was like, "That's it. All of you out." Because the multiple spirits there, and I'm going, "Every one of you, out, out, out." And I grab the sage and I'm pulling sage in the room, and I'm saying, "I'm done with this crap. I can't even get a night's sleep because you guys don't get it, that I'm still alive, and I need to frickin' sleep." And so I sage the room, and I threw them all out, and they're all, they were all like, "Uh-oh, we really pissed him off." grabbing me by the feet, come on, it just doesn't work that way. I mean, it's not cool. And then we had actually, with some of my paranormal investigations, we had some stuff follow us home. And that's when I really got serious about really learning what to do to protect the home. And that's when I ran into the black tourmaline. And it's really a good all-purpose, spirit repellent, I guess you would call it. It really works. And I've got bags of this stuff. So I'll just get in talk with you on Facebook and we'll get some of that sent up your way. Because I think you need it. I got a nice little bag of it, and you just put it around the house, and believe me, it'll get the point across. But just realize you want to leave a place for when you do readings, you don't put it there.
Right.
That's the place that they're allowed to speak to you, so that's the only advice I'll give. So,
thank you.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Well, hey, guys, we've gone through, we've got about 2.5 minutes left. I just want to thank everybody for just popping in. We've got Earthbound Angel, who's just on with us. She's here with the show. We've got Gerber Daisy is there. Hi, Gerber. We've got Jenny Minor Poke, and I will always win, and you will always be sending me coffee. And we have Nancy Mum, my co-host here. Nancy, hello. Hugs to you. I love you.
Thank you.
I love you, Brule. We have, Brenda. Brenda is with me here, my other friend I love. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
And we have a special family connection. We have Debbie down there in Roseville. Hi, Debbers. Tell your daughter that I will always win and that she needs to send more coffee. I'm sending the ducks. And we got Vicodan out there. So a nice kind of quiet show for Yule. But, we will be back on the 24th, 9:30. I think it's 9:30 I'm doing the show. Pacific time, and we will be doing readings, but with a little more stringent controls over who we're reading and all of that. So definitely tell your friends about that, and we'll be on. What else is going on? I can't think of anything else. I guess I'm running out of things to say on this show. What about you guys? What's going on with the two of you in the next minute here? Say things that are going on in your world, my host friends.
I'm going to eat. I'm going to have a nice dinner with my daughter and my family. We're planning that out. And I'm on my Christmas break time, so I'm going to catch up visiting some friends. And I think that I want to do some things that I normally don't do during this time of the year. I have been also doing a lot of walking. I've been walking 5Ks. And
wow.
I probably can do, the last time I walked one, it was an 18-minute mile, but I wasn't walking at my pace through the whole thing. I was walking at a slower pace, and so I lost some time at the beginning and the end of it. But I think that probably if I just start walking my pace from the to the end, I'll probably be walking like a 16-minute mile, which is...
All right.
That sounds long, but if you're walking
stream,
it, it's not. It's
we're about
not
to lose
long.
Stream, so we'll go into archive. But good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. And then we
night.
Are off stream.
Good night.
And then, Brenda, what about you?
With me, I'm just enjoying the holidays with my boyfriend and his children and with my parents. And then my focus for next year, I really want to start doing readings privately for people, and then my health. I need to really focus. I'm very interested in the diet that you're actually doing, John. I've been reading some of the links that you actually posted about it. So that is one of my focuses for this next year as well.
I think it's really surprising because the thing that I had to really get over was I was actually eating more food, not less, and I was doing 5 meals a day, and that's what I've been sticking with. And I mean, to give you an indication, two days ago I weighed and I was 238.8. The next day I weighed and I was 237.4. That's how, so I lost 4 pounds in a matter of, 24 hours. And it's continuing, and people warn you, oh my God, that weight loss is bad for you. No, it's not, because you're eating all this really good food and really good nutrients, and your body's just saying, oh, I don't need to be storing this stuff anymore. I'll get rid of the stuff that I don't need, and I'll just keep absorbing these nutrients. So it's a pretty well done diet, and diet in their terminology means, did I eat today? So I'm like, well, I go in like tonight. I every 3 hours I have to eat, and so when I go in after the show here, I'm going to run up into the kitchen and grab some ham and a few cashews and have that, and you snack, and you just keep eating, and it gets your glycemic index back in shape, and your pancreas is going, thank you, and your body is eating, you eat real food, not all this other stuff, and your body starts cranking up, and your metabolism starts really kicking into high gear.
I will. When I've been most successful with weight loss, I have eaten more meals. Like, I know I kind of followed the plan with a diabetic diet where they actually eat 6 small meals a day. And that, along with exercise, I actually lost quite a bit of weight. So there is something to be said with eating more meals, smaller meals, but eating more throughout the day, it keeps your metabolism going.
Yeah, it's funny because, we're on this the fast metabolism diet, and we do, like, phase 1, 2, and 3 through the week. You know, so Monday, Tuesday, we do generally fruits and vegetables kind of a thing, and less protein. Then Wednesday, Thursday, we tend to eat more protein and less of everything else, and that primes the body up to start burning fats. And then when you get to that point, you're kicking the metabolism into gear. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you eat more proteins and a pretty even mix of vegetables vegetables, proteins, and all that. So, I mean, you eat more and fats. You eat more fats. And your body just really takes the fats and it starts working harder to digest those, and it burns more fat. So you're kicking your metabolism into this cyclic pattern. And they really emphasize surprising your body, with different things, and also wanting you to do different exercise. So, tomorrow I'm going to be out all over the map doing things around the property, and I'm really getting my butt in gear and moving around here. So it really, I'm very surprised because I'm always a little hungry, but I'm not so hungry that I'm going to be ravenous and cheat. I just kind of anticipate the next meal and my body thanks me, and then it's just like, what do I do now? And you can feel your body revving up, and it's really an interesting feeling, So I'm surprised. I mean, my sister lost 54 pounds on this.
Wow.
And her husband's chasing her around till her heels smoke. So, Kurt says, it's my, my brother-in-law, Kurt, he says it's like she's 22 again, and she's all over the map, and wow, she looks great,
Wow.
I'm just going, oh, okay, my goal is when I get the weight off, in I think about probably by March, I'll be at a point where I can get my pinstripe suit And then I'll shoot some. I'm going to go in and get some nice promo shots for the show with me in that suit, and then you're going to really see something. So I'll do before after shots. So look out, because I'm going to be a lady killer, you know. So I think you would do great at it, Brenda. I really think it would. I think you would come out of it just going, wow.
I'm definitely, yeah. I think I will go ahead and get the book. And then I bought myself, it's a combination elliptical and incumbent exercise bike. You kind of move the pedals to change shape, and you can use it as both types of pieces of exercise equipment. So that I'm going to be hitting pretty hard throughout the next year.
Yeah, I've got an exercise bike, and I'm really liking it. And it's funny. The one thing I got to warn you about is I got mine in October. I started riding it, and then I went and did a paranormal case aboard the USS Hornet, and I had stressed my legs on the bike, and I was down on the fourth. I went down four decks into the bells of the ship, and I went to try to get. I was laying on the deck. We were doing an EVP session, and I couldn't get up. And my legs seized, and I had cramps so bad I was literally reduced to tears. And they had to figure out how to get me up out of the ship, all the way back to my stateroom up on the flight deck. And I literally had to pull myself out of there. Nobody else could help me. So I was hurting, let me tell you. So the one thing to do, especially when you're just getting into it, is just do 5 minutes. Don't try to be
okay.
Superman. Do 3 minutes. Do 5 minutes. Take a month and run at that level, and then kind of ease in and test yourself and then extend it. But, you know, going out and just saying, oh, I could do 5 miles on the second week. No, you can't, because that's what happened to me. I was like, oh, I did 5 miles, and then I went on the Hornet, and then I got my butt kicked because my body went, what the frig are you doing?
Well, it
and,
has where
yeah.
you can adjust the resistance, and I haven't even played with that yet because I want to kind of get myself used to riding it first before I actually start putting resistance on there.
Smart move, because that's what I did. I leveled it up to like level 3, and I thought, I can handle this. You know, this is simple. You know, and it felt okay until I really needed to use those muscles in a different way, and I had stressed them so bad that my legs just literally, my left leg, I literally to get across certain parts of the ship where you had to lift your legs to go through some of the gangway doors, and there's like these things called knee knockers, and you have to step up and over. I was literally having to pick up, you know, cross over with my right leg, and then my left leg wouldn't work right, and I had to lift it up with my hand to pull my leg up and over, and I had to lean on
the
guy.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how bad off I was. They gave me pain meds and had a medic come and see me and
wow.
check on me and make sure I was good, and I had a hell of a time. I got home and I was just, my legs were just hamburger. I mean, I really hurt myself, you know. So be careful with the exercise gear. You know, just ease
okay.
into it and take your time, and you're not in any big hurry. You just want to be consistent with the exercise and you'll be fine. So,
right. Right.
Well, hey, ladies, 11:08 here on the West Coast, and you two have been great hosts tonight. So thank you, and happy Yule.
Happy Yule.
Happy Yule to you guys.
Okay.
And one thing I heard just before from somebody else that they were on a diet, they needed to eat stuff, was apples and almonds.
Apples and almonds. I've heard apples. Apples, every diet I've ever looked at, it always says apples.
And then almonds are like protein, you know, and it's something to snack on, something that won't put weight on, but something that will fill you up. Because sometimes, like, if you're at work, you can't eat a bunch of times during the day when you're at work. But, you know, she always used to carry this bag of little apple slices and a bag of almonds. That's what her doctor told her. So it's just
that's
very
what I... Yeah, I've got smoked almonds, and I have for my emergency kit for this thing. And, I have a little handful, you know, when I really can't get anything else, I just have a handful of almonds. You know, and I carry around tangerines. I've got tangerines slices, and I get the vitamin C. And it really seems to work. So, that's the other thing, is carry a little emergency stash, you know, for when you do get where you just can't get out of a meeting or you've got some commitment and you just got, but you need to eat something, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Well, hey, gals, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be, I'll be on the 24th, so I hope to see you guys there on that show, and then I'm going to be 11 o'clock in the morning. Kathy will have me there hanging out with Santa. So I don't know what you're going to be doing on that time, but I will be hanging out with Santa, and you may hear a very strange voice coming from Studio A.
Oh, really?
That sounds
that's,
suspicious.
That's unusual.
Yeah. Yes. God, you're good. You got me good. That's great. Yeah, but I'll have a little help from Santa, and I'll be switching in Captain Kirk occasionally to help along, and we'll go from there. So,
well, you take care, and Brenda, you take care, too, and everybody have a good holiday.
You too,
okay,
Nancy.
You too.
Okay, thank
and
you.
I will definitely be there with you on Christmas Eve, John. I'll dial in.
Okay,
I don't know if I'll be able to make it or what time. What time are you doing your show, 9?
I think it's going to be 9:30.
Okay. I don't know if I gave 10 minutes at the beginning. I'll try.
Yeah, if you want to show up later, just pop on in and then just hit me in the chat room and let me know you're there, and I'll patch you in.
Okay.
All right,
folks. Just take care. Love
okay.
you all.
Bye-bye. Love you too. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye now. Whoops. I think I put is Brenda there still?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still
you were
here.
Just saying something?
I was just going to say, I was going to tell you good night.
Okay, good night, my friend. I love you too.
All right. Love you too.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. I'm going to hit the hold on these two. And then I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit of music to send this off. Let's see. Let's find something that's fun, something interesting, something cool. What do I have in the? What do I have in there? Well, I have Nancy's thing. Frying pan. I forgot. Totally forgot the frying pan. I hope Nancy's listening. You know. That is a wonderful thing that has. I think I'm going to play that the next time she shows up. She's probably still listening. let me see. Let me try this one. We're going to play one of the bumpers here and then sign us off. So this is Soulstream. I'll be seeing you guys on December 24th at 9:30. And don't forget to tune in on Kathy's Distant Echoes, 11 o'clock. And you'll hear Santa and me hanging out with the guy. He's a really cool dude. Here we go.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Soulstream on blogtalkradio.com.
That's right.